You are listening to Kapiti Poets, a programme highlighting both established and up-and-coming writers of poetry on the Kapiti Coast. Welcome to this episode of Kapiti Poets, funded by the Creative Community Scheme via Kapiti Coast District Council, also by the New Zealand Poetry Society, and by generous donors via the boosted crowdfunding platform. I'm your host, Ingrid Prosser, performance poet from Paraparaumu, and I'm very pleased to welcome to the studio today Bryony Rogers, who lives in Raumati Beach. I first met Bryony at Poetry on the Coast in Raumati and soon realised that we have much in common, including our mutual interest in vocal sound and singing, and in the importance of the natural world around us. I'm very interested to know more about how poetry sits within this sphere for Bryony. So let's get started. Thank you very much for coming in to share with us, Bryony.
Thank you, Ingrid. It's lovely to be here, and I'm so glad to be sharing in this way.
Lovely, lovely. Will you tell us how your poetic journey began? Were you writing in childhood?
I was writing in childhood. I've written poetry ever since I could write at all.
Yes.
And I grew up in the countryside in Lancashire, in a very beautiful place with lovely plants and animals and nature everywhere. And that would really informed my experience of the world and language.
Yeah, wonderful, wonderful. So what sort of writing were you being inspired by at that time? What were you reading, and did that include poetry?
Well, when I was a child, yes. So my mother was an amazing poet. And so I grew up in a household of writing poetry and creating.
Wonderful.
And, you know, she inspired me with her writing, and we would write together. And actually then when I moved away from home when I did my degree, and I lived in London for 10 years. But I came back to Lancashire when I was in my kind of early 30s.
Yeah.
And she and I went and wrote together in amazing groups and sessions and explored writing a lot. And there was another poet who really inspired me at that time and earlier, who was a Scottish poet, actually, called Elizabeth Burns, who was an amazing writer.
Yeah.
And she was a fantastic kind of mentor of mine for a number of years, and she supported my writing a lot. And
that's great.
So I had personal living women who were amazing writers very immediately in my field from very early on. And I had a lot of friends who were writers, you know.
That's great. So wonderful role models.
Role models, exactly.
Yes. And living, writing, and you were reading, writing, and hearing writing that was very new, so had all that fresh creative energy.
Absolutely, absolutely. Fresh creative energy. And because as I mentioned, I was living in a very natural surroundings, and that house is still there. My father died in January.
Right.
And we're now in the process of exploring, are we going to sell the house?
Right.
But it's the house that, you know, I grew up in.
Yeah, and that's
my mum and I lived in, and my dad, and we, you know, my brother and sister and everything. But the energy of nature really informed the writing as well, and the energy of being in that space and in that town nearby with all these amazing writers.
Then
I went to London and studied literature and language at University College London, and met a whole lot of other amazing writers. Like I met Adrienne Rich from America, the feminist writer, and she came to London and I met with her, and we did some work together.
That's great. That's great. So I'm beginning now to wonder whether you're going to mention any poet from the past at all.
Oh, yes.
Which is not that you need to.
Yes.
But it's just really interesting that obviously you have been hugely affected by these people who have been writing around you, which is wonderful.
Yes, yeah. And that's definitely the case, is that it's always been a very alive, contemporary thing for me. Yeah. But yeah. Obviously I studied literature and I love early writing. I read Chaucer and I read, you know, Wordsworth and Shakespeare and yes. all those writers, and also like Emily Bronte. Yeah. And yeah. I wrote a thesis in my degree about Sylvia Plath and Adrienne Rich.
Right.
I wrote a thesis about images of mothers and motherhood.
Oh, okay.
Which nice. Got good response from yes. From the university.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, that's great.
So yeah, I was inspired by. I studied lots of poetry and lots of writing
from a wide period,
including
of time,
like yeah. William Carlos Williams. You know, I yes. loved his writing, and
yes.
also Mary Oliver. She's a different kind of writer, and
yeah.
and also when I. Moved from London back to Lancashire and then moved to Scotland. Yeah. I lived in Scotland for a number of years. I was reading a lot of Rumi and Kabir, the kind of spiritual devotional,
yes.
you know, Sufi poets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And of course, you were also writing songs, song lyrics.
Yes.
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 Tell us something about that.
Well, that started even before I started writing poetry, actually.
Right.
I was,
yeah.
my father had these stories and my mother had these stories of me, you know, being kind of less than a year old or a year, you know, a year old, because I started yeah. to speak quite early and I also yeah. started to run quite early and to be physical. And they said that I used to walk around the garden singing to the plants
yes.
and making up songs. And I've always had this experience of kind of channeling and downloading songs and
yeah.
writing them in a more formalized way as well. But now I support other people to do that as well through my work.
Mm. So have you always found then, and even continuing, that the words and the music come together?
Often, generally, yeah. generally, yes, yeah. generally, yes, they come together. And that's kind of quite wonderful and magical when
yeah.
it happens. And
yeah.
I do have this experience, which is one of the things that I love to support other people to experience as well. When I, you know, I run retreats and do these workshops and things with people, as well as working one to one with them. But I love that experience where we kind of tap into like the eternal song, you know, we tap into this music and words that
yeah.
come. And I do feel that that is something that it's a great experience for anyone to have. And, you know.
Yeah. yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yes. Well, I can say that I've done the same.
And
I've written a number of songs over the years. And sometimes I've started with words, or I've had an idea of a melody and then the words have come later. But very often it is, as you say, this
together,
process
yeah.
of the words and music coming together. And it is a wonderful, yes, if you when you've got the creative process of just creating words or just creating music, well, when you put them two together, that's
yeah.
it is magic, isn't it?
It is. It's completely magical. It's so
yeah.
magical. Yeah, I
yeah.
love it.
Yeah, that's yeah. great. That's wonderful. Well, shall we hear a poem?
Yes, that
from
would
you
be lovely.
Now, and will you tell us a little bit about it?
So this is an older poem from an earlier time in my life, kind of when I was leaving London and moving to live back in Lancashire.
Yes,
and it was a feeling of a kind of transitional moment in my life, a feeling of like I'd kind of healed on a personal journey. I'd been having therapy and I'd been doing a lot of personal kind of reflection and personal healing work.
Yeah.
And this poem came out of that.
Great.
It's called The Drying Time. The years open. In this drying time, this fresh morning, I hang out my sobbing pictures, old wounds. I kiss that strange sleep and separate her tired arms from mine. She can rest now. I have to live. The clouds disperse slowly, sun on skin, a new feeling. My handmade lies, the cheap sweetnesses, rust and earth grows over them. The wind picks up. I turn and face my own adventure.
Lovely, thank you. When I read that to myself without your explanation, I wondered whether perhaps it was about death. And in a way it is.
It is about a kind of personal ending and rebeginning. It's like a situation of death and rebirth in a way. Which actually I have had in my life more often than some people. I've had a number of times of death and rebirth. Mm. Like when I came to New Zealand from England, you know, stopping one whole part of my life and starting again. And I've had that in many times in my life, really. So
I like the positivity of that poem, which now hearing your explanation and hearing you read it, I get much more of a sense of positivity from and I love your cheap sweetnesses.
I love that image. I think that image, to me, that image really speaks, you know, something. And I know it's slighting on, it's a bit of an unusual image in some ways, but I like it a lot.
Yes, I think that's one of the magic things about poetry.
Yes, we can do those.
We can do those things.
Yeah.
And I love the layers of meaning in something like that.
Yeah.
And where it catches your attention and you stop and you go, oh, what does that mean? And then you see on different levels what it could mean.
Yeah.
I like that.
Oh, thank you, Ingrid.
Well, let's talk now about how you disseminate your work, because it's not just the poetry. And in 2020, you self-published a book called The Golden Road, My Journey with Spirit, which, as well as poetry, includes spiritual guidance and nature photography.
That's right, yes, yes.
So I'll say a little bit now about how that came about, which I've read all about on your website and talked with you about a little bit. So in 1999, you were living in the spiritual community at Findhorn Scotland, which must have been absolutely amazing. And you had not so much a spiritual awakening, as I suspect by that time you already considered yourself to be awake, but a deepening of spiritual awareness?
It was I did see it as an awakening, because although I did have some spiritual awareness beforehand. The depth of shift that happened for me when I was living in Findhorn at the time of the eclipse.
Yes.
And, you know, everything just really opened up for me in a very profound way. So it was a very significant step, although things had started to shift before that and there was an awareness. It was a radical change that happened when I was living in Findhorn, and I started to receive a lot of audible guidance, and, you know, my life really changed a lot.
And that
also, some of it was very beautiful and very poetic and contained a lot of imagery.
So I was definitely interested to know whether that experience changed the focus and style of your poems.
Yes, it did. Yeah. Well, I having reviewed recently all my earlier writing, there's always been a sort of interest in specificity and in nature.
Yes.
But I think there was more of a kind of positive and optimistic and deeply spiritual energy that came into my writing and my perspective of life after that experience. And I think over the years that has always remained the case.
Yes. And so The Golden Road has some of that guidance that you've received over the years.
That's right.
And the nature photography, as
you said.
And the spiritual intense nature-based poetry.
That's right.
I'm looking forward to reading that book, which I haven't had the opportunity to do yet. But yes, that's wonderful. And The Golden Road, you're about to have reprinted, aren't you?
Yes, I am, yes.
Yes, because I believe you only have about 5 copies left.
I do, I only have 5 copies left. I've sold a lot of them. Yeah. And actually, I did get it reprinted when I was staying in England last year as well.
Ah, okay.
And I had one person who bought 8 copies.
Oh, wow.
To That's give brilliant. To all her friends.
That's great. That's great. And you've self-published that?
I self-published the whole book. I mean, I have been published with my poetry through the Earth Pathways collaboration, which is a English creative writing and art-based publishing house.
Yes.
And they publish diaries every year, which I've had my poems in for the last 10 years.
Lovely.
And then in 2020, they commissioned me to have my poetry as the only writing in a publication that they did, which is called the Mandala Journal, which had these beautiful, unfortunately I haven't got any left at the moment, but it has beautiful mandala images interspersed with my poetry.
Yes, I think you sent me a page.
I did, yeah.
Yes, yes, really, really beautiful.
Yeah.
So that's lovely. It's lovely that you have your poems combined with photography on the one hand and beautiful artwork on the other. That's splendid, isn't it?
I love it. And I have had my poetry published on other kind of calendars and, connections with art and photography.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's something that I really am very grateful to have had that opportunity and to continue to have that opportunity.
Yeah, that's really great. And you also have a poetry ebook called Wilderness Renewal.
That's right, yes. Yes.
Does that have any pictures in it or is it just...
It has a few pictures in.
Oh,
and that, what's nice about that, I mean, that definitely includes a number of New Zealand poetry about spiritual experiences in nature.
Yes.
So, yeah.
That's great. So this is probably a good time to let our listeners know that you have a website and people can find out more about your work and how to obtain copies of things. And your website address is www.songofawakening.com. That's songofawakening.com.
Thank you, Ingrid.
Lovely. Well, shall we hear another poem now?
Yes. This is Solstice Eve. Lancashire Woodland 2020 is the title. But it's a poem that actually crosses location because it's, yeah. On the winter solstice eve in the afternoon, we gathered, 15 of us, young and old. We gathered to share, to sing and dance in the woodland by the river. I walked to the river's edge alone. The river roared by, full to its banks after many weeks of rain. The ground was damp and slightly slippery with the green moss on rocks and the mulch of rotting leaves. A bird came singing down low over the water, finally alighting on a branch lined with droplets which fell one by one into the current. I bent down beside the river and washed my face in the flowing cold, cupping icy water and bringing it up and over my brow, my eyes, my cheeks. I prayed to release that which I no longer need, to let go. As I breathed deep, dripping, the singing started behind me, 14 voices rising, rising. I wiped my face and walked to join it. Together we sang, "May the blessings of God rest upon you. May God's peace abide with you." The birds settled in the trees around us as we danced and watched us closely. Occasionally, they sang too. Later, we gathered inside beside a roaring fire to drink warm tea and to eat sweet, rich cake. We chose cards from an oracle deck for guidance and journaled our dreams and visions for the coming time. Deep water roaring in the river outside, the evening drawing close. In my journal, I opened a new blank page. I drew a stag, standing as I had stood by the river in full flood under the trees, listening. I drew the stag and then the birds, drew them shining with peace and blessings, deep in the winter solstice eve. And in this other country, this other world, the stag walks ahead of me now, leading me forward to where the light returns and the year opens into new possibility. He breathes with me, inside me and beside me, guides me to listen more deeply, to watch and see with new eyes, to remember and to find the way.
Lovely, thank you. Yeah. So you were born in England, in Lancaster. So what brought you to New Zealand after all those years living in London and in Scotland, and you came to New Zealand?
Yes, well, I was in a relationship with a New Zealand man, and we were together in England for a number of years, and he wanted to come home. And yeah. I came and we visited in 2017. I absolutely loved it. Mm. And then what happened was COVID happened when we were visiting here in 2019, and we decided to stay,
partly
through circumstance, but partly because we loved it so much. Mm. And we lived in Otaki Gorge together. He still lives there. We're still good friends.
Yes.
And so I came because of Mark and have stayed happily, you know.
Yes, that's lovely. Though I believe that you go back to the UK regularly as
well. I do at the moment, yeah.
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 Yeah, great. So can you tell us something about how living on the Kapiti Coast has influenced your writing?
Definitely. Well, one of the things that I absolutely love about living here is the nature.
Mm.
And, you know, there's the incredible space and light here. That really feeds my poetry and feeds my creative soul. And I walk on the beach every day. Mm. And, you know, I really enjoy the spaciousness at the coastline. I live literally a few minutes from the beach.
That's brilliant. Yeah.
You know, that experience is very potent for me. Mm. And another thing that I love is the kind of creative community here. I feel it's a really rich, engaged community, and you know, I've shared my poetry in poetry readings and things, and also I lead a creative writing group every Monday in Te Ara Korowai, which is a creative wellness center in Raumati Beach.
Yeah.
And that's wonderful. I love that group.
Yes.
We meet online as well as in person. So it's actually a hybrid group, and we have people joining from other parts of New Zealand as well.
Oh, and wow. So you have the group that you're meeting in person.
And we also have a tablet
and
with
you
other
have to manage
people.
That connection as well. Well, that's clever.
It works out fine. Yes, it works out fine. And actually, when I'm in England, because I'm going to be in England for 4 months again in a few weeks.
Yeah.
When I'm in England, we continue the group as a fully online offering.
Yes.
While I'm abroad. And in fact, I must mention that we did get Creative Communities funding as well for that group.
Yes, that's wonderful.
And that has been wonderful. And it has been amazing to see how the participants of my groups, the creative writing groups, have really come along a long way in their confidence and their skill in their writing. And I feel really grateful to go every Monday to go and hear some amazing writing from the participants.
That's great. And so we were mentioning before, as I've said in the introduction to this program, we have some sponsorship from the New Zealand Poetry Society.
That's right.
And you are a member of
New
Zealand Poetry Society.
I am, yes.
And you were saying that you incorporate some of the resources that come from the society. Can you say a little bit more about that?
Yeah, definitely. So, but some of what it's not only a poetry writing group, it's a creative writing generally group.
Yeah.
But I do incorporate the resources, the poetry, the competitions and deadlines that come from the society. Yeah. And I see part of my role in the group that I'm leading to kind of continually support and inspire
yes.
all the participants towards knowing the different things that are happening in the region and nationally and also internationally as well.
Yeah, that's great. That's really great. Well, shall we hear another poem?
Now? Yes, so this is a different poem. This is written, I'll read it for you. In the cemetery. In the cemetery, men make prayer with cans wrapped in blue plastic bags. Love suffereth long and is kind, reminds the marble headstone, while John McCartney, husband, brother, lover, friend, sleeps beneath a scattering of blue glass and pink silk flowers. Domine, domine, sing the birds, while a man stumbles at the crossroads in the shade of a broken angel. The grass bursts green beside the pathway, beckoning into birdsong and the coming spring.
Thank you. Thank you. I really like that poem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's inspired by a Victorian cemetery in London, which has broken angels and definitely has men deeply immersed in drinking from a can in a bag, you know.
Yeah, yeah. It's been really lovely to talk with you, Bryony. Thank you so much for coming into the studio. In a moment, we'll finish the programme with one more poem. Firstly, I'd like once more to say thank you very, very much to our generous and supportive funders, the Kapiti Coast District Council for the Creative Community Scheme funding, which comes from Creative New Zealand, the New Zealand Poetry Society, and individuals via the boosted crowdfunding platform. Tell us about the poem we're going to hear now.
Thank you, Ingrid. Well, this is one of the many poems that I've had published in the Earth Pathways diaries over the years. And it's a poem which explores kind of vision and freedom in a spiritual context. So I'll read it for you. It's called Without Holding On to Anything. 1,000,000,000 stars line the horizon without ever asking where you're going or if you know you're homeward bound. It's a great sea we're sailing this life, and this current wave is all you know. A silent seabird flies low, brushing your face with his wing. Later it will brush the sky, opening an answer in between the stars. Dance without holding on to anything.
You have been listening to Kapiti Poets, a programme highlighting both established and up-and-coming writers of poetry on the Kapiti Coast.
This programme was produced at and first aired on Coast Access Radio with support from New Zealand On Air.